de saludar a esta hora a doña Alina Frolova. Alina Frolova fue viceministra de la Defensa de Ucrania hasta el año pasado, es asesora de Defensa de Ucrania y fundó un proyecto que se llama Invictus Games Team Ucrania. Ella hoy está en el Centro de Estrategias de Defensa en Kiev. Y esa es la primera pregunta. Militarmente, Ucrania, teniendo una desproporción como la que tiene, o sea, Ucrania tiene 98 aviones, Rusia tiene 1.500 helicópteros, tiene 102 helicópteros, Rusia tiene 1.500. Las comparaciones son imposibles. Ucrania, ella por su experiencia en defensa de su país, ¿cree que tiene cómo enfrentar esta invasión?
Good morning, Minister Frolova. Thank you very much for your time at W Radio. And when we try to compare, you know, the military power that Ukraine has versus the one that Russia has, speaking about planes, we are under the understanding that Ukraine has 98 planes, Russia has 1,500. So the question would be, based on your experience, do you believe that Ukraine has the power, I mean, has a way in which they can confront Russia, considering the comparisons are so different?
Sure, yes, because first of all, we have not so small army here. Yes, you're absolutely right that we are losing in equipment. If to compare it to Russia, we just like quite not defense from the air. But at the same time, we have 260,000 regular troops, which if we compare to those which Russian keeps on our borders now, like 200,000, it's the same quantity. Plus, don't forget that we are protecting our land and motivation, and everything is like quite much bigger than in Russian case. And all these like 2 days of active fight, they demonstrate that we prevail. Although we have not so much equipment or not so modern weapon like Russian has. But for example, if we will compare to losses for these 2 days, we have loss of around 140 of servicemen in Ukraine, of Ukrainian armed forces, but at the same time we have more than 2,000 losses in Russian army. We shot at 7 aircraft, 6 helicopters, more than 30 tanks, and was just like a few, just few lost in Ukrainian side. So I would say that we are quite experienced, thanks to Russia, and we are quite experienced in like a contemporary war, and we have motivation, which is much bigger than their one.
Pues nos dice que sí tienen cómo defenderse. El ejército ucraniano es bastante grande, no es tan pequeño como se cree. Ellos, por supuesto, tienen una desventaja en cuanto a equipos comparados con Rusia. Tienen una desventaja en cuanto a la defensa aérea, pero tienen 260,000 soldados, lo cual se equipara con el número de soldados que tiene Rusia. Ellos están protegiendo muy bien su territorio y tienen la motivación bastante grande que no tienen los rusos. La motivación de los rusos es menor a la que ellos tienen, porque ellos están sin duda defendiendo su territorio, y es más importante eso para ellos. Y en estos días se ha demostrado que aunque no tienen equipos modernos y armamento moderno como Rusia, han podido defenderse muy bien, porque si comparamos las pérdidas humanas, ellos han perdido 140 soldados u hombres en servicio, mientras que el ejército ruso ha perdido más de 2,000. Ellos han podido tumbar 7 aviones, 8 helicópteros, también tanques. Entonces tienen mucha experiencia de guerra y también, lo más importante, la motivación.
Ana, con la eventual toma de la capital Kiev, ¿el presidente Zelensky buscaría la rendición o, por el contrario, Ucrania se seguiría defendiendo?
If the Russian troops finally are able to take on the capital Kiev, do you believe that Zelensky would go ahead and withdraw, or do you think that President Zelensky would, you know, would make the troops keep on responding?
Well, first of all, they are not so successful in getting some big cities. Yes, they were making attempts yesterday to take the Kharkiv, one of the biggest cities in Ukraine, they failed. They were trying to attack many other cities. Actually, now what they completed is only Melitopol. This is south region, like a middle-sized city. But that's still the fights are going already inside the city. And they're trying to catch the key, to get the Kyiv already. They started like a massive attack of today. In 4 a.m. until now, they don't have success yet with it. So that's not obvious that they will take Kyiv. Although for today, this is their main target. That's obvious. Main forces are here. And so that's not only armed forces who are fighting. We have like a huge number of civilians who join territorial defense, and we have huge line to conscription points, and people are on the street like catching up some kind of subversive groups. That's why I'm not so sure that they will take Kyiv. In any case, in the worst case, even if they take some kind of governmental quarter or whatever, Ukraine is quite a decentralized country, and it won't stop the resilience, it won't stop the fights, and it won't stop the troops from performing their duty.
Bueno, nos dice que los rusos no son exitosos tomando ciudades grandes. Ellos intentaron tomarse una de las ciudades más importantes ayer y fracasaron. También intentaron tomarse una ciudad media en Ucrania y no pudieron. Ahora están tratando de tomarse Kyiv y pues están fracasando hasta el momento. Este ataque comenzó ayer a las 4 de la mañana y no han tenido éxito hasta el momento. Entonces nos dice que no cree que se tomen Kyiv. Por supuesto que es el objetivo, pero las principales fuerzas ucranianas están ahí. Tienen un número de civiles muy grande que se unieron, que están inscritos para poder defender a su país. Están las personas en las calles tomando todos estos grupos subversivos. Entonces no cree que sea posible que se tome Kyiv, pero en el peor caso en que lo logren, los ucranianos no van a parar. Ellos son resilientes, van a dar la pelea y las tropas van a seguir defendiéndose.
Le quiero insistir con Kyiv porque en muchos lugares del mundo, por ejemplo en Estados Unidos, se dice y se insiste que la situación de Kyiv podría ser una toma en los próximos días. ¿Ella cree que esa batalla por Kyiv acabará siendo una batalla calle por calle con civiles defendiendo incluso la ciudad?
We want to speak a bit more about the capital, Kyiv. Many people around the world, analysts around the world, are saying that the take of Kyiv could happen in the next few days. Some people are saying that this battle for Kyiv would end up being a battle that is going to be street by street, and which we will see lots of civilians going into the street defending their capital. Do you see this as a possibility, civilians coming out and the take of Kyiv in the next upcoming days?
That's obviously what's happening. So civilians already on the streets. We have some kind of organized territorial defense, which is civilian defense, but organized by armed forces. And we have volunteers who are just do what they can do. And this is this is millions of people. So that's not the easy walk for Russians. And today we have these pictures from the streets when people were stopping the vehicles of Russians which were trying to get into the city, just civilians. They were stopping, taking out of their soldiers and bringing them to Ukrainian armed forces. So the people already do this. And taking into consideration that we now have, if you want to join territorial defense, you come, you sign the contract, and you get the weapon. So the weapon is highly distributed now among the civilian population as the part of the total resilience. And we have the total mobilization. So I don't know. I'm not sure. Obviously, I'm sure they won't take the Kyiv so easily. I mean, that's not, they already try it for all this day, and they cannot do it.
Bueno, eso es lo que está pasando ahora mismo. Hay civiles en la calle, hay una defensa territorial organizada, son civiles que por supuesto están organizados por las fuerzas militares. Ellos están haciendo todo lo que pueden para pelear con el ejército ruso. Está hablando de millones de personas, así que no es un camino fácil para Rusia. Están distribuyendo incluso armas a civiles. Hay una movilización total. Están seguros, o ella está segura, de que no se van a tomar Kiev tan fácil. Ya trataron todo el día y no lo han logrado.
El portavoz presidencial del señor Putin, Dmitry Peskov, ha dicho que se están dispuestos a enviar una delegación a Minsk, a la capital de Bielorrusia, para iniciar una negociación con sus colegas ucranianos. ¿Bajo qué condiciones estaría dispuesta Ucrania a negociar esta situación en Minsk?
For President Vladimir Putin, Dmitry Peskov has said that a delegation is ready to be sent to Minsk, capital of Belarus, to sit down and do, you know, negotiations. And our question would be, under what circumstances would Ukraine, agree to sit down and negotiate?
Well, we have actually nothing to negotiate because If Putin wants negotiations, he had like a multiple choices before. We had Minsk agreement, which they never fulfill and never negotiate normally. They come to our country with some request what we shall do, not towards Russia, not towards some kind of Russian citizens, but they come here and said that they occupy us, for us not to make a decision about our international politics, which is quite strange. And this is like a cross out the ability of the any independent state to make decisions on their own life. But still we have a lot of like moments for negotiations before. They never fulfill whatever they negotiate. And they clearly said that they stopped negotiations on the Minsk. It was their initiative. It was not our initiative. So we don't see any principal changes which can influence the position of Russia. Because if you are in negotiations, two parties shall have a desire to reach some agreement. But if one party doesn't want to reach an agreement, I mean the Russians, negotiations has no sense. We won't reject from our independence, which is target of Putin. We won't reject from our ability and rights to identify our external politics because we're independent nations. So this is not the negotiable positions anymore.
Yes. Former defense minister, thank you very much for your time. And we hope better days for your beautiful country, Ukraine.
Thank you.